Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Go ahead and stay standing. We're going to open up in prayer because I love prayer. God, I thank you so much for every person here in this place. I thank you for what you're about to do, God. We open this space to you, Lord. I thank you for your presence. I thank you that the words come out of my mouth clear, concise, and awesome. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So exciting. All right. This is my third time in my life preaching. The second time was about 30 minutes ago. So, extend me some grace. This is a good message. I love the series we're in right now. It's Back to Church series. And we're going to be on this for about a month or so. And when I first started thinking about what I was going to preach on, I was like, well, everyone that's here is in church. So why do we need to preach that they should go to church? And then God instantly corrected me and said, no, you do need to preach on that because that's people get complacent. People forget why church is so amazing. They forget what God's done in their life. And I'm here to remind you of those things today. So it's going to be good. So worship team, you're incredible. That was so good. Thank you, guys. Wasn't the worship so good today? I love it. So I learned my dance moves in the clubs about 15 years ago. And so if you see me grooving on the front row, just, you know, taking me back to my days, but just in worship, it's that much better. I love our new songs that are out, the River one. Well, it's not our song, but we sing it better than the other people do. The River one, and then Yours by C3 LA. Oh my gosh, I just feel like really dancing during that one. It's mine and my kids' favorite song. We love it. Can I just say I love our church? I love our church. I was a central campus, Centralian. Well, we're Northians up here. They're Centralians down there. I was one of them for about 11 years. And then in January, my husband and I, if you don't know us, we came up here in January and took over North Campus. And it has been so incredible. And it's because of the people. Like, they're the most awesome people up here in North County. So my husband and I have been so honored to be a part of it and to come alongside all of you. And that's what it really is. You know, the minute we stepped in, we instantly had people just step up, like come alongside us, support us, love us. When it could easily not be the easiest thing, but it has become a great thing because of the people that are here. So thank you all. You know who you are that have done that. So I got to thinking about church and why we go to church. And I wholeheartedly believe that the church is the answer for the lost world that we live in. And I started to think, why do I believe that? It's not just that it became something I would hear, but then I never took the time to sit there and think about why I believed that. And as I started to write this message, God clearly showed me some things that the church has done for my life and that the church can do for everybody's life. And I want to share with you that today. So, it's so easy to get in. We have technology everywhere. It's so easy to get a word on your phone. It's so easy to open your email and have a daily devotion. It's so easy to click on your Bible app these days. And all of those things are great, but there's something about the church that is different, that can bring a power into your life that just doing those things on your own can't do. So keep listening to your Joyce Meyer, keep turning on your Joel Osteen, do all those great things, because I do all those great things. But be in church. Be in church and do the things of God in God's house, and you'll see. So what I've discovered for my own self is that being in church has brought so many things in my life that if I wasn't in church, I'm not sure would. The title of my message this morning is Sunday Fun Day. And I'm here to tell you that we're redeeming Sunday Fun Day. Because I was the person that would do Sunday Fun Day on Sundays, but it looked very different than Sunday Fun Day now. You know, some of you might be older here and you haven't heard of this term, but what people do is they just get so drunk on Friday and Saturday that they think they have to rest on Sunday, but then they end up just drinking on Sunday too, and then they call it Sunday Fun Day. Well, let me tell you, it's not going to work out very well if that's what you do. So your Sunday Fun Day needs to be in the house of God. From the first Sunday I attended church, it quickly became my favorite day of the week, to the point where my husband and I were just dating, and he brought me to church, and I got saved on my first Sunday. But we would get in a fight, as people who are dating do, or married, because we still get in fights. But we would get in a fight, and then the next argument would be who's going to stay at the church and who had to leave of the two of us. So then, and then he told me, if you're going to break up with me, then it's done, because I'm not going to do this thing where you break up with me and then get back together and then break up with me and then get back together. He's like, no, we either stay together or we break up. So then we just decided to get married. We both could stay in the church. It's working out pretty well. Love you, babe. Love you, babe. And C3 wasn't actually my first church experience. I did grow up as a CEO, a Christmas and Easter only Christian. And I'd go with my grandma, and I'd go with my parents, and we'd go to the Catholic church, and, you know, it was fine, but it didn't change my life. I can tell you that the power of God didn't hit me there. And in fact, I would leave discouraged because, listen, I love the Catholic church. This is my experience. I would leave discouraged because everybody got to do communion except me. It's like watching all the people go in the lines and get their communion, and I would just sit there. And then I would feel so judged because I didn't do first communion, so I couldn't do communion. And so that was the extent of my church experience. So coming into C3, as you can imagine, was very different than that. And I instantly felt the opposite. Felt empowered, felt excited, felt full of joy. So I want to play a quick video clip before we get into this, just to kick us off. So check your eyes to the screen.
Nick and Molly just moved to the city and can't agree on what they want. They are young and energetic and looking for a new church home. We'll take some personality tests, tour the sites, ask some questions, and based on taste, experience, and location, we'll find them the perfect congregation. I'm Corey Clark, and welcome to Church Hunters.
We're so excited to find a church. We just started dating.
With the churches we go to now, just not, like, for us, just not really doing it for us, you know?
Right. I go to a satellite campus. I just find it hard to connect emotionally with a video screen. It's just...
Okay, you cry during cake, boss. So, like, we've been doing a lot of services online, a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of preachers we do like.
Really good, but we want serious yet funny.
Yeah, like commanding of the stage yet relatable, you know?
We're more looking for the humor of Andy Stanley with the body of Stephen Furtick.
Hey guys,
what's happening?
I'm Corey.
Good to see you. My name's Nick. This
is
Molly.
Hey guys, welcome to Church Hunters.
This is your first church. This is Creekside First Baptist. So while it is traditional, it's still pretty current. This year, the pastor started untucking his shirts.
Oh, that's good.
Big deal.
He does dress his age though, so don't worry. He's past the Osteen suit phase, but he hasn't gone full Giglio yet.
Because there's holes in the knees or no?
Well, it's frayed, but no holes.
Frayed, no. Okay, got it. Yeah. Perfect. Okay.
So hey, let me show you around. Okay,
let's
come
do
on.
It.
I do love this lobby.
It's a great lobby. You know, it's not too big, not too small.
Yeah.
Should be enough room to catch up, chat with your friends.
So you need.
But here's a great thing. There's a bunch of side exits, so if you need to leave early and catch the game, you can do that.
Got it.
Yes.
Oh. Honestly, right up front, didn't love the name.
No. First Baptist? Who names a church that anymore?
Not these days. We're looking for like a Thrive Church, maybe Relevant Church, I don't know, Radiant Church, something.
This is the soundboard they use here.
Okay.
Now remember, it's pretty traditional here. So when Sunday comes around, they turn it way down low.
Got it. Yeah.
But the one knock on this church, they still use the childcare numbering system on the screens.
Ooh,
Or as the moms like to call it, the sanctuary walk of shame.
The Sunday morning experience was just a little too traditional for us.
I mean, the pastor's main point, 157 characters. I can't tweet that.
I really think you guys are gonna love this place.
I like
it. We do, we like
it.
Feels great. Yeah.
You know, it's diverse, but it's not like too diverse, you know?
Scripture heavy sermons?
Yeah.
What about, is it community oriented?
Absolutely.
Great.
Women in ministry?
The parking situation, you guys gotta see it. Super rare nowadays. Come with me.
There's like a maybe for when my parents come into town. Yeah. For a church for Christmas, Easter type of church.
Like a holiday type church.
One of the main reasons that I love this church for you guys is that on your personality test, Molly, you scored high in service and hospitality.
Oh, babe.
And there's a great welcome team you could join.
Perfect.
Okay. And then Nick, you scored really high in need for accountability.
Wow.
And the men's groups here are amazing.
You're just gonna put that out there?
Hey,
just
God
like
knows
that?
Your heart, okay?
I love it. Oh my goodness. Is that not hilarious or what? So there's no perfect church out there. I'm sure as most of you have discovered, and according to that video, there's no perfect church out there. But I'm convinced that C3 North Campus has a special VIP room in heaven just for us, because we're, you know, special hand of God on us. But in all seriousness, the more people that are outside of the church not finding a church to get plugged into, despite its imperfections, equals the more people in hell. So the more people in church equals the more people in heaven. More than ever before, we live in a world that's positioned itself against the church and is completely isolated. Matthew 16:18 says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." God has promised to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And this morning, I want to develop into 3 points, and I've come up with my own C3, because the C3, I've come up with my own 3 C's of C3 as to why we want to be in the house of God. And I'm getting back to the basics. My friend told me, I'm like, my message is so basic, and she's like, that's okay, the basics are in style. So I'm like, great, awesome, let's do it. So the number one, so I'll give you all three. My husband advised me I should give you all three to start with. So the first three is calling. The first C is calling. The second C is going to be confidence. And the third C is going to be connection. So let's get into the first one. Number one, calling. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." It is in the house of God where I found the calling that God has on my life. And it was less about the calling that God has me to do, but the more the calling of God has me to be. As soon as I came into church, I found out that I am a child of God. I am an incredible wife. I am an incredible mom. All of the things that God has for us is who we operate out of, as who we are as a child of God. When we first came to C3, I wrote on my mirrors, it said, "I'm called to be anointed, prophetic, powerful voice to this generation." And I didn't believe it when I wrote it, but I wrote it, and here we go. So then after finding my calling, I found purpose. And I found my purpose in the bathrooms, serving in the bathrooms. And what I mean by that is we used to be in the Boys and Girls Club down in Carmel Valley when we first started. My husband and I came to church. There was like 20 or so people. And Pastor Becky, who is pastors at Central Campus, she asked me, she's like, and she wasn't a pastor then. We were friends. We brought them to church. And she's like, "Hey, can you join my team? It's the bathroom team." And I'm like, okay, sounds great. And at that point, I just wanted to be faithful, whatever God asked me to do, and be faithful in the small. And so, you know, In my head at first, I'm like, oh, I get to decorate some incredible bathrooms. And most of you know we did a remodel here, and I got to be part of making our bathrooms beautiful. But back then, it was more like setting up curtains on the mirrors and setting up beautiful mirrors and putting candles out and putting room spray and cleaning up, you know, the occasional dirty bathroom situation. And so that became what I chose to be faithful in. That became what I chose to serve God's house in. They were so bad that even when Lisa Bevere was just here, she remembers our bad bathrooms. She's like, "I remember those bathrooms you guys were in the Boys and Girls Club, bad." So then I remember Matt was on the parking team. So funny. So we had gone to a Stagecoach Festival, which is a huge country concert, and he had a can of something he was drinking, and then somebody came and hit the can, and it literally like knocked his front tooth out right here. And I knew we had church on Sunday, and there would be no time to go see the dentist in the next 24 hours. So he comes to church, and he's faithfully serving on the parking team, and Pastor Leanne roll up, and he's there with his tooth, a little snaggle tooth. And I just remember, like, all we wanted to do was be in the house of God and serve the house of God despite broken teeth. So we don't say, you know, if you've been here, I know some of you, who just graduated the lead class? some people around here. Amazing. I love it. This is a little side tangent. I just want to honor the Hillards for doing an incredible job with our pathways. And all of you people that just went through the lead class, congratulations. It's so incredible. But you probably heard Soak and Serve here at C3. And we don't say that for no reason. We don't say that because we want to steal 4 hours of your life. We say it on purpose with intention because we know that if you can serve one service and soak in one service, that you will find the most incredible fruit in your life. Matthew 10:39 says, "He who finds life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." What I've discovered in the house of God is that our ambitions, our dreams, and our desires coincide with God's kingdom. God isn't here to take away your purpose, your drive, your ambition, whatever your dreams are. God's not here to take that away by having you be an usher. God is here to make those things coincide together and give you a calling and a purpose behind your passions. Haggai 1, I want to read this whole scripture because we're actually commanded to build God's house. In Haggai 1, 2, it says, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Verse 3, "Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled house in this temple to lie in ruins?" Skip to verse 7. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came little, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called a drought on the land and the mountains, to the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands." It is in this scripture where we clearly see that God commands us to build his house, and he will build ours, rather than the other way around. I think for some of us here, it's time to just serve. It's just time to build God's house. And there, just to make it very practical, there are so many areas that you can serve in the house of God, whether it's going on usher team, going on the beautiful high team, whose friendly faces are smiling every Sunday, playing with the kids and teaching them the things of the Bible over in kids' church. There's so much fun to be had in serving rather than looking at it as something that takes away from your life and deciding to look at it as something that will give to your life. And then there's some of us that just walk into church and we already know what God's called us to do. We already know the dreams and the desires that he's put on the inside of us. We just need to learn to submit it to God. I think of the story of Joseph. He was a boy born with a dream that he would rule over nations. And he had 11 brothers who he told this to. And the 11 brothers looked at him like he was crazy. And they were so mad at him because of this dream that God gave him that they actually wanted to kill him. And I can't say that I wouldn't want to do the same thing. I wouldn't want to kill someone, but I would think they were crazy if someone came to me and told me that you will bow down to me and I'll be a ruler of nations. And so he even went to the extent of he would have the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing to him. He told his father and his family that this would be happening. They all thought he was crazy, so they decided to throw him in a pit. In Genesis 37:20, it says, "Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what becomes of his dreams." In that scripture, his brothers are so mad that they're like, we shall see what will become of his dreams. You're not going to do anything with that. God hasn't given you that dream. It's so like the enemy to come and try to steal that dream. But then Joseph, after a series of events, he gets sold into slavery. So they didn't actually kill him. They sold him into slavery, told his dad that he died. And so his dad thinks that Joseph is dead, but then he ends up in jail. And it was in that moment he had to either decide to submit his dream to God. God, I know you've told me this. I know that you've put this dream on the inside of me. But what do I do in this moment? Do I fold or do I have faith for what you've told me? And so Joseph completely submitted it to God, ended up in jail for 2 years and did not lose sight of his dream and did end up becoming the ruler of Egypt and did end up having his brothers bow to him. So the moral of that story is do not lose sight of what God has in your heart, but submit it into the house of God, and you'll see what happens. It's in the house of God where ceilings are broken. There's no ceilings in the house of God. I used to think that because someone else, and this is, I'm just being very transparent here, but I used to think that if somebody else was getting promoted, then that means I couldn't. Or if somebody else is getting praised, that meant that I couldn't. But it's so the opposite. There is no ceiling. There is no capacity in God's kingdom. There is room and space for every person's dreams and desires. It's in the house of God we can find our calling, submit it to God, and from there, the sky is the limit. Number two is confidence. And the first type of confidence I want to talk about is a godly confidence. And everything I'm talking to you about today is all things that I have had to overcome. So I was a shy, little, meek, little girl, pretty much, just kind of lost, not knowing my way. And because of being submitted in the house of God is when I was able to gain confidence. And once I learned whose I was in Jesus Christ rather than who I was able to gain a godly confidence. There's something so attractive about a person with confidence. When you look at somebody and they have the confidence of God, you want to instantly follow that person. You want to instantly know what they're doing differently. And that's what we can gain by being in the house of God, a godly confidence. You know, it'd be so bad. My husband and I would go on date night. We have date night every Thursday night. And when we first got married, he had a little different picture of what date night looked like. I wanted to just be dated, just me and him, and go out and get spoiled and talk and do all those amazing things, but he liked to be around people. And that didn't work out very well when he married a shy little girl. And so he arranged for us to have a date night at Benihana, and you know, you're sitting at a table with 10 other people. And he's like, so excited. And I'm like, this sucks. This isn't a date night. Talking to 12 other people, and I'm just sitting here, and I don't even know how to talk to people. It's not fair. So I had to quickly overcome that with a godly confidence. And I did read the book by Joyce Meyer, Confident Woman, that completely changed my life. The godly confidence I'm speaking of is that we know we are called to be people of authority and influence in all areas of our lives because of the God that we serve. The second confidence I'm talking about is confidence in God. So your faith will be stretched. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean life is perfect. We all face challenges. We all face battles where our faith has to be stretched. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So about 5 years into Matt and I being married, so we've been married for about, how long? 11 years now? Almost 11. About 5 years in, we wanted to get pregnant. And actually, Matt wanted to get pregnant the first week of being married, but I was still a really massive work in progress, so that didn't work. So about 5 years in, we agree, we're finally ready, we're going to get pregnant. So, you know, we try for months and months, and we're not getting pregnant, so we decided to go to a doctor. And at first, I was mad because we had to go to a doctor. I'm, like, pulling out all the tricks in the book, praying, fasting, read the Bible cover to cover, you know. We're trying to get pregnant, and we're believing God that we will get pregnant. And it's not happening. So finally, we're like, all right, we've got to go see a doctor. So the doctor, after all these test results came through and everything, sat us down, and he said, you have 0% chance of getting pregnant. And I was like, can you just give us 1%? At least God can work with 1%. And he's like, okay, you can have 1%. So I left. I'm like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. We're going to get a miracle, 1%, yada, yada. A few more weeks, months pass by. We're still not pregnant. And then we decide, you know, the doctor told us we only could do IVF. It was the only way we were going to get pregnant. But I didn't want to do IVF because I didn't want to do the hormones and the shots and everything that's involved with it. And I was still hanging on to this word from God that we were going to be pregnant. And I was like, no, I'm not going to go to a doctor. And I was just being stubborn. So then, you know, God just works so incredibly awesome because we were on a trip with the randomest people that we would have never gone on a trip with. And one of the ladies that was there told us, you know, there's a natural IVF process you can do. And I'm like, no, I had no idea. So I look it up. Sure enough, there's a doctor in LA. And, you know, we're praying and fasting. We go to meet this doctor. And he's like, oh, you're actually perfect candidates for the natural IVF process that we do. I'm like, awesome. Okay, so literally, we do the whole thing. We get pregnant first try. We're pregnant. And then we do it again, and we get pregnant again. So now, what do you know? We have these two beautiful children that I have pictures of that I want to show because they're so cute. Micah and Maverick. And I wanted to choose a photo where they're like all happy and, you know, just staring at the camera, but I didn't. I purposely chose this because this is in kids' church and they're in worship. And it's so beautiful to see the promises of God come to pass when you have a confidence and a faith that will bring forward fruit like little Micah and Maverick. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into a sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask and pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. And that's the word that some of you need to stand on this morning. When God is stretching your faith, whatever word that God's given you is what will happen. So stand on that this morning and have a confidence in God while your faith is stretched. The third confidence that I discovered is a confidence in prayer. I've gone from being a person that was afraid to pray to being a person that is afraid to not pray. The power of God when we pray is incredible. The Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. So you will find at C3 our prayer style is a bit different than you may have seen before. You know, when we do the 5 minutes of prayer, we lay hands on people. We believe that God will shift something in that moment. We don't just say, oh, I'll pray for you, or text, oh, I'll pray for you. No, we are on the phone. We are in person. We're laying hands. The effective, fervent prayer is the prayer that I've discovered from my own life that is a prayer of confidence and boldness, knowing that God will cause a miracle to happen. So you'll find your life will go to strength because of the confidence you gain as a child of God in his house. My third point, my third C is connection. The picture of a cross is a beautiful picture of how our lives should be lived in connection with people and in connection with God. You know, we're not made to do life alone. There are the most fruitful and healthy relationships sitting in this house right now that have yet to be discovered by you. And I know, you know, some of us leave churches or go to try and find another church because we don't feel connected. And what I want to say to that is get yourself connected. Yeah. Find some people. I know that the desire for every person here is that there is connection with other people. I know that God has healthy relationships in store. I know that when our healthy relationships happen in this house, we can then go outside the house and be influencers instead of being influenced by the people outside the house. Outsiders should look at our lives and wonder, what the heck is she doing? What the heck is he doing? What have they got going on? Our lives should live a statement of we have found life, not that we have drank vinegar. Matthew 5:13 says, you are salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As believers, we are to be salt and light in a dark world. I heard a story the other day that my friend Kelsey Holmes, love you, kids church directors for North Campus, incredible people. You hold a special place in my heart. We were eating in a restaurant. Next door was this little Mexican shop down the street here called Mrs. Taco. Anyone eaten there before? Well, she goes, yeah, that used to be Mr. Taco. And I'm like, what? Why? She's like, Because Mr. Taco and Mrs. Taco got divorced and now it's called Miss Taco. I'm like, what a shame. And instantly I'm like, I'm such a pastor now because I'm like, why didn't someone with salt and light go in there, help them redeem their marriage, and keep Mr. Taco and Mrs. Taco together? Because there's more than just a storefront and a name change. You know how much is behind that? A bunch of crap. They got a divorce, restaurant, business owner. You know, there's so much more involved in just seeing a name change on the front of the restaurant. And I know that's kind of a silly example and funny, but there is a story I want to tell you about a girl named Sarah. Her name isn't actually Sarah, but just to save face, we'll call her Sarah for this story. And she was a patient of Matt's for a long time. Her and her family would come into his office a couple times a week, so he became very close with them. And we knew that Sarah had a drug addiction to cocaine, and we would pray with her mom and, you know, try to be as influential as we could. And then Matt actually invited her to church. And praise God, she came to church, and she got her life turned around, and she, you know, got saved and started getting plugged in. And Sarah started coming to our Connect group, and we, by the grace of God, got blessed with this incredible piano. And she was in school, a school of music, and she was an incredible piano player. So if we have a picture of the piano, I want to show you. So she would come over during Connect group and play this piano like you have never heard someone play the piano. Like she would have ended up being a superstar on the piano. But we got a phone call a few weeks after she came to our Connect group that she had actually overdosed on cocaine because she started hanging out with an old friend that convinced her to just one more time, do it one more time, and ended up overdosing that night. And it is the saddest, saddest story, but praise to God that she came into the house of God. Yes. She got saved, got her life on the right track, but just didn't get around the right people of influence to change the trajectory of what happened. But it's such a God thing, because that piano was actually given to our church. It was her lifelong dream. When she saw this piano, she came into our Connect group, she saw it, and she was like, she couldn't even believe it. It was her lifelong dream to be on one of these pianos. And so someone gave that to our church, and Pastor Andy was like, hey, could you guys store this piano for a little while? And we're like, okay, sure, we'll store this piano. So it just so happens to be that beautiful and that amazing. But this girl, Sarah, got to play that piano, got saved in God's house, and now is in heaven with her Father, in Jesus' name. The second connection we find in the house of God is a connection with God, which is the most important connection you can have. It is in church where you find a connection with the most powerful God that can change things in a moment, with the author of the universe, with the author and designer of your life. It's in the house of God where you can find him. I want to read a psalm to you because it's a beautiful picture of what this looks like, Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold for those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. What I'm here to tell you today is that the church is an organization that will help cultivate your relationship with God and can change your life if you're willing to let it. My life is simply a product of a decision after decision made to be planted and committed to surrender my will to God's will in his house. The church reminds me of a vineyard. And when the seeds are planted and the grapes are grown, there's those sticks that hold them up. And that's how I feel our lives are with God. We're seeds that are planted in the ground. And the church represents those sticks that are hold us up and make us grow in the right direction towards God. The best decision my husband and I have ever made, that the biggest rock in our jar, you have all the rocks of your life. You put the big rocks in first. The biggest rock in our jar is church. Sunday Funday has become the best day of the week in God's house. We've redeemed Sunday because the life inside the church has filled me with a calling, a confidence, and a connection that is bigger than myself. And I'm telling you here right now that that is not just for me. God is no respecter of man or woman, but it is something for every person. If they choose to be planted in the house of God, can see these three things happen in their life. God did not send his only son to die on a cross so we can live an average life. He sent his one and only son to have a connection with him and to live a life full of fruit and joy and passion and all the things that he's designed for us. So we're going to come to a close right now. And if there's anyone here that wants to experience that connection with God, maybe there's people here that have already made a connection with God, but you just need to renew that connection. Maybe you're feeling a little dry or a little not passionate about that connection you have with God. Or maybe some of you here have never made that connection with God and you want to do that today. I want to give those people that opportunity. So if we can have everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Bow your head and close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to have anyone here who wants to reconnection with God to go ahead and lift your hand. This is a safe place. We do this we present this opportunity to meet Jesus every Sunday here at church because it's the most important decision you can make in your entire life. If that's you here today, you want to either reconnect or connect for the first time with God. If you can just lift your hand high in the air, I'm just going to say a prayer with you. I see you up there, young lady, beautiful. I see you down here, young man. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing here. I see one over here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Just a couple more seconds. If there's anyone else here, you want to give your life to God this morning. Thank you, Lord. If I can have everyone stand to your feet, I'm going to say a quick prayer with these people that raised their hand. And what I'm going to do right now, I'm actually going to have, I think I thought I saw three or four hands go up. So I want to have you guys, I want to meet you down here at the front. I want to say a prayer with you and don't let this moment intimidate you. Be excited about this moment. You're in a room full of people that have done this. I remember when I did this 12 years ago. I want you to come down. I want to meet you. I want to pray with you. If your friend's here, have your friend bring you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The angels are singing in heaven because you decided to give your life to Jesus. What's your name? Cindy. Anyone else? I saw a couple other hands. Come on. Don't be shy. Come on, lovely. So beautiful. Anyone else needs to come down? If you didn't raise your hand, you can still come down. This is such a powerful moment. These people have decided to live their life for God because they know they were designed and created by God to live for him. So we're going to pray. I want you guys to repeat after me. Whole church, repeat after me right now. Lord God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for taking my life under your control. I thank you for my future. We put the past behind. We put our lives in your hands, God. Forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church,
go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.